to worship God and to acknowledge him on this day. Those of you who are visiting with us know that you are our honored guests. We appreciate your presence. Thank you for being in our assembly and participating in our worship. We are very, very excited about our theme for this year. Brother Tillman on last Lord's Day did an outstanding job in launching us into this year's theme. And our theme is an unshakable faith rooted in an unmovable God. That preaches every time you say it, because it really does resonate with all of us, because we realize the times in which we live. I want to thank all of the men who have led us in our worship today, the song leader and the one who led us in prayer. He said so much in his prayer that I think was so comforting and encouraging, and the songs, as well as all who have administered the Lord's commands for worship on this day. We just thank you for the diligent way in which you commit yourselves to the worship of God. I want to call your attention to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to read this passage beginning at verse number 1. Simon Peter, a bond servant, and I'm in the New King James Version, and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. And through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. You shall never be shaken. I want to use this passage, this reading, as a basis for my discussion with you concerning this quarter's theme, check your roots. Faith, check your roots. I want to look at this passage because I believe that it speaks to the unmovable God, what he has done for us. But it also helps us to see how to make our faith an unshakable faith, one that will never allow us to stumble. I realize that this is a passage that we have studied repeatedly, but I'm confident there's no way for us to ever exhaust any passage or any study of God's word. So I'm hopeful this morning that I can just speak to us concerning, first of all, what Peter calls our precious faith. I like precious faith. Now, I believe that Peter, the apostle, understands what it means to have faith shaken. For in his life, there was a time that he felt that he had unshakable faith. But when the time came for him to show his trust and his steadfastness, he denied the Lord three times. And the Lord approached him afterward and said to him, after his resurrection, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him three times. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I truly believe that Peter in 1 Peter and in 2 Peter is fulfilling what the Lord asked him to do, strengthen the brethren. In 1 Peter, as he writes, he understands that Christians are facing external temptations, trials, persecutions. And he knows that their faith is under fire. Many believe that it's coming from the Emperor Nero. Nero is not only persecuting the Christians, but he's putting to death. And they believe truly that Paul suffered martyrdom at the hands of Nero. So he writes in that first epistle concerning how to be strong and have genuine faith in the Lord. In this second epistle, recognizes that it doesn't always come from the outside. There are times that persecution, trials, and temptation come from the inside. So later in this epistle, he's going to talk about false brethren in the midst of the body of Christ. So as I look at this, I understand the context. One thing that I know is impossible for me to do is to rush through. And since you don't want me to rush through, I want to do what I can because I want to challenge us, grow, and the only way to do that is to help us to go deeper in our roots. Check out our roots. Is your faith really rooted? rooted. And if it's really rooted, then I believe that when storms come, when challenges come, you will not be shaken. So, as I begin this journey, I want you to see in verse number 1, three things that I'm going to be highlighting. The root of the righteousness of God. I am going to be sharing with you, not all of this today, the root of the provision of God through knowledge. And then thirdly, the root of the promises of God. I believe we can get deep into the righteousness of God, deep into the knowledge of God, deep into the promises of God. You and I won't have our faith shaken so easily. This morning, perhaps I will only be able to cover the root of the righteousness of God. And I want you to see what Peter says, because I believe that Peter understands that this Christian life is a growth cycle. Say it again, Brother Gibbs. Peter believes that the Christian life is a growth cycle. You're not where you ought to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. And you're not where you are when you look toward the future. You're going to be better than where you are today. It's a growth cycle. So, this is what he is saying as he points us toward God. Look what God has done. Verses 1 through 4 of our text deals with God. God, what has God done? Well, here's what he says. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, what does it say? Like what? Precious faith. With whom? With us. So the subject is faith. All of us have like precious faith. Through. Now that's where I want to go. Through the righteousness of God. Our faith is rooted in the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to do, because I know that righteousness here, God himself is righteous. There is no sin, there is no darkness in God at all. Not at all. He is completely righteous. He cannot sin. He will not sin. Absolutely, teetotally righteous. But when Peter says the righteousness of God, he is not only just speaking of God's righteousness, but he's talking about it. And I want you to listen to this part, because I know where I'm going is probably going to be a little difficult if you're not really paying close attention. Even Peter said that some of the things that Paul talked about, that they were hard to be understood. And so I'm going to be using Paul and Peter talk about the righteousness of God. When you hear the word righteousness, say the method of God. Come on, say that with me. The method of God. Good. So whenever you see the righteousness of God, it is the method of God. Another word is the word plan. It is the plan of God. Another word is the person of God. So whenever you see the word righteousness of God, it's talking about God's method, God's plan, God's person of salvation. Even though he's righteous, but what he's saying is that I got a righteous plan. I got a righteous method. And I have a righteous person that brings about this great faith you and I presently have. I want you to go with me. Now we're going to Paul, and I'm going to be in Romans. Romans chapter 1. I want to look at verse number 16. And I want you to follow this with me. Romans chapter 1. Paul says, I'm not a what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what? The what? The power of God to what? Salvation. For everyone who what? Believes. For the what? Jew first. And also for the what? Greek. Watch verse 17. For in it. For in what? In the gospel. In the gospel, in it, the righteousness of God, the method of God, the plan of God, the person of God is revealed from what? Faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, what you have to see is that all of us are just. All of us who are Christians are the just. And we live by faith. And this faith is rooted in the righteousness of God. But the righteousness of God is in the gospel of God unto salvation. Go with me to Romans chapter 3, verse number 19. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 19. Watch what the Bible says. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Watch verse number 21. But now, the what? The righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. He says even the what? The righteousness of God. Through what? Through faith in whom? Jesus Christ. That's the person. This righteousness of God is in the person of Jesus Christ. It is through Christ that God plans to justify Jews and Gentiles. It is through Christ that he has the method by which to bring approval to every man that will be in fellowship with him. So he says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Now that's interesting, because salvation is available to all men, but all men will not believe in Jesus. All men will not have faith in Jesus. So even though it's available and it's to all, but it's on all those who take advantage of it and believe. For there is no difference. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Watch this. Being justified freely by his grace. Being justified means to be declared totally good. Totally good. Without sin. Without darkness. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What is it that makes me righteous before God? It is not my own ability to be righteous, but it is what God does for me through his righteousness that he finds in Christ Jesus. And he makes us totally free from sin, without sin, by Jesus Christ. Now watch this. The Bible says, whom God set forth as a propitiation. That simply means as a satisfaction by his blood. So when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, Jesus Christ went bearing the sins of the world. Isn't that what Isaiah said? He bore the sins of the world. And when he died on Calvary, it was through his blood that all sin has been totally forgiven. Watch this, the Bible said, but we have this propitiation by his blood through faith. How do I access this perfection? How do I access being totally accepted by God as though I have never sinned and free from sin? It is strictly by faith. Through faith. Well, Brother Gibbs, what is faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is trusting God. Faith is relying on God. There are so many people who can believe in certain curriculums. They can believe in the curriculum, but not in the one who gave the curriculum. God is simply saying that if you're going to be saved, you're going to have faith, not just in commandments, not just faith in the word. You've got to have faith in the person who gave us the word, who gave us the commandment. When you talk about faith, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm afraid too many of us feel like as long as I'm in the church of Christ, I'm all right. Well, you better be careful, because if you don't believe in the Christ, you don't have a real relationship with Jesus, you better check your roots. Say that I believe in the Bible, but you got to believe in the God of the Bible. So whom God set forth as a perpetuation. Now watch this now. And I know. Well, anyway, just let me preach. All right. To demonstrate at the present time, watch this now. I'm on verse number 25. Whom God set forth as a perpetuation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. In other words, all the sins of the Old Testament, all the sins of Adam, all the way to Jesus. The Bible said that he looked over them. He forbore or forbore those sins. But what was God doing? God was using and forbearing, waiting for the day when Jesus would die on the cross, shed his blood. When he died on the cross, his blood reached all the way back to Adam. Cleanse every sin, every stain from Adam to Jesus. That's some powerful blood. Well, this is what he's saying. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just. Somebody say, well, you mean to tell me God just going to put up with our mess? God just going to put up with our sin? No. If God was complicit in being part of your sin and didn't do anything about it, just simply shoved it up under the rug, that ain't righteous. God said, I'm a righteous God, which means that I don't overlook no sin. Every sin, every transgression, God sees it. And every transgression, God is going to make sure that it's paid for. But Brother Gibbs, how did he do it? He did it when Christ bore our sins on the cross. When Jesus died, he paid the price for your past sin, your present sin, and your future sins. That's somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, well, let me just preach. All right. Watch me say it's to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. He was righteous in putting Jesus to death. He had to put him to death. Because somebody got to pay for all this sin. But watch this now. That he might be just. I'm a just God. Well, why are you just? Because of what I did on the cross. Don't tell me that I'm guilty of overlooking sin. No, I didn't. I dealt with it on the cross. And watch this now. And the justifier. Not only is God just in what he did on the cross, but now he is also just in justifying the one who has faith in Jesus. In other words, not only have I taken care of sin, but now I have the right to declare anybody who has faith righteous. Now, stay with me. Let me read verse 27. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law or by what works? Some of us get in our mind that because we are here every Sunday and every Wednesday on time, sing every song, that God ought to save me because of that. No, 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 no. You could never be righteous enough for God to save you. Well, let me stay with the book. Go to chapter 4. I don't want you to go to chapter 4. I'm talking about the righteousness of God. All right? The righteousness of God means the what? The what? The plan? The what? The method, the what? The person. Are you with me? Every time I see righteousness of God, I think about his plan. Immediately my mind goes to Jesus. Immediately my mind goes to the cross. The righteousness of God. Now watch this. Now this is interesting. What then shall we say that Abraham, now he goes back into the Old Testament. If you think that this is far-fetched, Paul said, I'm going to show you that this principle of salvation by faith didn't just start. Now watch this. What then shall we say? That Abraham our father was found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. But not before God. For what does the scripture say? Now he's going all the way back to Genesis 15. Abraham believed God. Watch this. Abraham believed the person. He believed God. No. Well, there's so many ways I need to go. But watch this. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That word accounted, imputed, this is a transaction, a bank transaction. In other words, Abraham is here. And when Abraham believed God, God took righteousness, his righteousness, and brought his righteousness over here to Abraham and put it in his account. So when God look at Abraham, what does he see? He sees righteousness. But how did he get it? God imputed it. God accounted it. God gave it to him. It's a gift. Well, how did I get the gift? I got the gift because I believe in God. I believe him. You know, some people say, well, I don't know if there's a God or not. Well, I tell you what, if you don't believe and don't know and you got doubt and you wondering, then you ain't got no righteousness. Now, that's just as plain as day. All right. No. Well, I don't see him. He ain't asked you to see him. There's enough evidence that there is a God. Without faith, it's impossible to what? To please him. For he that what? Cometh to God must believe that he what? That he is. Abraham believed that he was, is, and am. A lot of us, we want to walk by sight. Well, show him to me. God ain't interested in showing you himself. You become pleasing to God by faith. Faith is the substance of things that are what? Hoped for. It's the evidence. Abraham never saw God, but he believed in him. Now watch this. He even goes to David. Verse number 5, Romans 4:5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him, who justifies the what? His faith is accounted what? For what? Some of us, if we sin, we feel like, I got to hurry to church and go down front and ask the brothers and sisters, please forgive me because I don't want to die in this condition. Just as soon as you come up here and ask for forgiveness for that, before you get home, you done sinned again. You know, we walk around scared, like, oh, I just cursed that man out. And I know, just go ask for forgiveness. Just tell him, I'm sorry. You don't have to come down here, down to the front, talking about I cursed somebody out. Go to the man you cursed. We don't need half of the testimonies we get coming down here. You don't need to know what you did on the bus and what you did in the train and on this and that. All right. I know I'm saved. I ain't guessing. Now, I don't believe I deserve it, but I know that because I believe in God, it has been accounted unto me as righteousness. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord. I hear somebody saying, preach that now. All right. Let me preach that now. Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse number 1. I'm gonna quit. Therefore, having been what? That's clearly saying to us that you are righteous. You're righteous by what? We have what with God? Through whom? Verse number 2. Through whom also we have what? Access by what? Into this what? In which we what? Brother Shaw, you can glory. Not because you're so good, but because you are in Jesus. I know the devil tries to come and shake your faith by telling you, well, you know, you ain't this and you ain't that. Well, I tell him, well, you go take that up with Jesus. You ain't all of that. Well, he already told me I ain't all of that. Told me I couldn't boast. He already told me. I want to show you how good God is. I'm just talking about God now. I'm talking about our unmovable God. How good is God? Drop down to verse number 6. For when we were what? Without what? In what? What did Christ do? Somebody said, well, my kids, I need to merit my salvation. You can't merit it. Drop down to verse number 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were what? Christ did what? Now watch verse number 9. I like this phrase. Much more than. Now watch this. If the Lord died for you when you were ungodly. I mean, if the Lord loved you enough to die when you didn't even deserve it. Much more than having now been by his what? We shall be what? Saved. From what? Wrath. Through what? Him. God is not giving us partial salvation. If I'm going to go through all of this to save you while you are a sinner,
Now that I justified you, what you think I'm going to do now? He said, think. If I went through all that and you didn't even know me, now that you know me. Verse number 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He's at the right hand of God, making sure that you and I are saved. I know sometimes I falter. I do. But I'll never quit the church. I'll never leave Christ. It's just like if a tornado's coming, and you know that if you get in a shelter, and that shelter's gonna save you. You ain't saving yourself, but what's saving you? The shelter. But you got sense enough to get into what? It's not your ability. You can't handle no tornado. Well, I'm strong enough. Come on, fool. I mean, come on, get in the shelter, man. Get in the shelter. Jesus Christ is our shelter. Well, my time is gone. I'm so glad that I serve an unmovable God. He's an all-powerful God. We have all kind of power in the world. We got man-made power, horsepower, electrical power, financial power, political power, atomic power, mechanical power, demonic power, military power, psychic power, angelic power, microscopic power, microwave power, wind power, water power, steam power, fuel power, engine power, solar power, nuclear power, brain power, go power. But none of these, nor even all of them combined, can ever touch or match the awesome power of our great God. Why am I unshakable? Because I serve an unmovable God who's powerful. He's so powerful, he can do what he pleases, when he pleases, where he pleases, why he pleases, and as he pleases. God does not have to submit to any other superior, answer to any other authority, report to any other ruler, simply because there is no one superior, no authority above his. No ruler over or above him. He's God all by himself. No circumstance can restrict him. No adversity can hinder him. No situation can constrain him. No power can control him. No enemy can defeat him. No obstruction can block him. No force can limit him. All powerful God. So powerful. He ignited the flame in the sun, positioned the stars in the universe, ordained the orbit of the moon, rotated the world on its axis, carved mighty mountains out of granite, filled the vast ocean with water. What kind of God is that? That's a mighty, mighty God. And that's the God who saved us by his righteousness. And that is his plan and his method. I hope that it has been helpful. Let's serve this God. because he's worthy of all of our praise and adoration. You're here this morning and you're not in Christ, you don't have the righteousness of God. You're not saved until you get into Christ. Salvation is in Christ. That's the only place that you can have salvation. Will you come to him by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing him to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism? It's for the remission of sin. It puts you into this wonderful, righteous relationship. Not because you're righteous, but because the one who died for you, his righteousness is given to you by way of accounting and by imputation. He gives it to you. Thank God for Jesus. Somebody ought to want to give their life to him. He's worthy to be praised. Will you come to him? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Yeah.